I'm going to invite up Pastor Josh, Pastor Shekinah, and Sam Byrne. So these guys are going to come up. Make them feel very welcome. Okay, I'm going to be on this side. You guys, you've done a great job, band. You can grab your seat. Thank you so much. Shekinah, you should be in the middle, the rows between the two men. Will be great. And so the reason I'm wanting to interview these guys tonight, I've kind of got a goal to help people go the journey in our relationship with God. So this is going the journey in our relationship with God. Isn't an automatic. A lot of people, when you begin a relationship with God, and we're going to kind of touch on this tonight. And tonight, if you've never invited Christ into your life, tonight can be the night where you begin a relationship with Him, and it can be an absolute game changer. And so often what happens in people's lives, we begin a relationship with God, we ride the high of the love of God and new friends and the feeling of peace and forgiveness. And then sometimes what can happen is 6 months down the track or 12 months down the track, where life is actually okay, people can begin to drift and kind of have this, okay, the honeymoon's over, there's some challenges in my faith, and I perhaps don't have the roots down deep enough. And so I want to talk about some of the things that help us go the distance, all right? So you've all got a microphone.
Yes.
Yes, hello. Just say hello to everybody. Hi, Sam.
Hello, how are you?
Fantastic. Hello, Shekinah.
Hello, everyone.
And Pastor Josh.
Hi.
Okay, let's just, for people who don't know you guys, brief introduction. How long have you been coming to church? This is like rapid fire. How long have you been coming to church?
12 years, I think.
12 years.
Yes.
Fantastic. Shekinah?
13 years, I think.
13 years. Josh?
Just ticked over 20.
Just ticked over 20 years. Oh, how old were you when you came, Josh? Come on.
I was like 3.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was setting up for.
I was 15 when I came, walked through the doors of Powerhouse.
Okay, there we go. Give us your 1 minute Christian story, just in terms of your connection with God. When did that start? How did it start?
For me, grew up in church, mm-hmm. then kind of fell away during youth years.
Mm-hmm.
Got invited to C3, met guys like Dan Frecker,
yep.
Dave Morris, got plugged into youth, and that's been me for the last 12 years.
Okay.
Just been here, plugged in.
Okay, so recommitted to Christ,
yes.
After drifting,
yep.
And then being plugged in through the youth years, young adult years, got married here, about to have a baby.
Yep, next month.
Next month. Way, there we go. Daddy Sam, so good.
Yep. And
tell people what you do for work.
What was that, sorry?
Sorry.
I was just still with the Daddy Sam comments.
We took you away. What do you do for work,
What
Sam?
Do I do for work, yes. Yeah. I'm a clinical psychologist.
A clinical psychologist. Excellent. Yeah. Well, you can help me later. We're going to do some analysis on Pastor Josh. So
we're so excited for our counseling session with Sam,
supervised
by Pastor John.
Actually, this is a marriage seminar for Josh and Shekinah. We're going to help them. So, no, just kidding. Shekinah, tell us your Christian story real quick.
So I was raised in a Christian home. When I moved to Australia in my late teens, I actually walked away from God to discover if I can do this journey on my own, got invited to youth and rededicated my life. And I've been here ever since.
Okay. How old were you at youth when you rededicated?
17.
17. Okay, this is, hey, go to the youth team, hey, come on, lots can happen. And how long have you been married now?
11 years.
11 years and two bubbies.
Two beautiful babies.
Hey, fantastic. All right, Josh, quickly, a quick summary of your faith journey.
Yep, so got brought up in a non-Christian home, never went to church growing up, and quite a dysfunctional and broken home. And I had an after-school job. Someone invited me to come to church here. So my first experience of church was the normal part of the service, and then everyone cleared the seats, and we made a boxing ring and had a sparring match. And that was my first.
A champion boxer come and tell his story. So we thought, why not? Let's just have a boxing in the middle of church.
It was great. It was great for someone like me.
Right.
And so that got me.
Except they didn't tell you it was church, did
they?
Yeah,
they didn't tell me it was church. They just told me it was a fight on. So that's how I came. So
we don't sort of condone
evangelism at its best. Just lie to your friends.
Don't tell them.
And then from that time, I actually sat in church for about 3 months.
Yep.
And then I just remember it was a Sunday night service, just like tonight.
Yep.
And I was about the fourth or fifth row in the middle, and I decided to give my heart to God, and been going strong ever since.
Fantastic. I love that. Okay, a couple of get-to-know-you questions real quick. Your love languages. Are you? I want to know what Josh, what's your love language? Do you know?
My love I won't do that. My love language is physical touch and words.
You're a great guy, Josh. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Pastor Josh.
Shekinah.
My love language is quality time and gifts.
Quality times and gifts. Okay, that sounds expensive. Sam.
Yes, mine's less expensive. Words and yes. I think touch. Although it's probably changed, so. Well, no. I don't know.
Words
I'm looking at Alex.
You're going with that, Alex. Words and physical touch.
Words of physical touch.
Words and physical touch.
I thought you said. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, no. Those two. You're also a great guy, Sam.
Thank you.
I love you. Okay, this last random one to help people out. What's a talent or skill that you have that no one knows about?
I feel like this is the hardest question for the whole night.
It's the only question I pre-gave them. I haven't given them any of the other pre-questions. So it can't be that hard. Actually, there's harder coming, Sam. Just don't worry.
Oh, no. I'm going to say I can play ukulele.
Ah, okay.
Yep.
Fantastic. Thanks for sharing. Shekinah?
I would agree. This was probably one of the hardest questions. I would say I actually know how to fire a gun.
Oh.
And I'm better than Josh.
Rifle.
That's why I'm so well-behaved right now.
Okay. Good.
Best behavior.
Nice. Thank you so much. Is that growing up in South Africa? Is that what did that?
Yes.
That would do that. Okay, awesome. Josh, what's one of your hidden skills?
One of my hidden skills is I can make a mean caramel Russian fudge.
Caramel Russian fudge. Yep. Okay, nice.
So.
Nice. And so does that qualify as a gift if he gives you that, Shekinah?
Oh,
as an act
not
of service?
Really.
Oh, wow. Gee whiz.
It did when we first started dating. Now it's like I expect something a bit more.
All right. Okay. The bar keeps lifting, Josh. That's just how it rolls. All right, I want to talk a bit tonight about going the distance in your Christian faith, going the distance. I'm going to put a scripture up to share, just to frame this up, because Jesus told the story, and it's called the parable of the sower. And he talked about a farmer coming along and sowing seed, and that seed being stolen away quickly, etc. And then he gives an interpretation of the story of the different places. So if we could just put that up and I'll read through the interpretation of the parable. So this is Jesus. Listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom. So this is about Jesus and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message, receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Okay, so becoming a follower of Jesus doesn't mean problem-free. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out. So it's running hard for Jesus, going to church, engage with him. But it's crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produced a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as has been planted. So I want to talk tonight about being people who go the distance in our relationship with God, who are in 10 years' time or 20 years' time still following Jesus and actually having fruit in our life. So just first question, nothing related to anything you've given me. So let's just talk about what do you think it means when God talks about having fruit in our life? You're up here to think, okay, so it's out. I love doing interviews where I haven't actually given questions. So what do you think, Sam? What does it mean to be bearing fruit in our lives?
I think, in John 15 it says, essentially it talks about vine. And
yep.
And Jesus being connected with you. And when you're intimate with him, then that's where fruitfulness will go.
So fruitfulness comes out of that connection. Yep.
That connection. So that would be the first answer for me, is that when we have a real... a strong connection with Jesus, out of that there's fruit that comes. And that may look like evangelizing to people.
Yep.
Being a difference in your workplace. It may look like random acts of kindness. It may look like just just praying and being a testimony to someone in your world, awesome. Or even just, you know, breaking the generational family stuff and you setting the trend for the rest
right.
of the family,
love
those
it.
Kind of things. But I think it all starts from connection with Jesus.
Love that. Awesome. Josh, what do you think fruit means in our, for someone to have the fruit of God in their life?
Yeah, I think I agree with what Sam said. It's being deeply connected with God. But when you're deeply connected with God, there is this supernatural peace, hope, joy, patience, that when you're connected with Him, it's not just for you, but it overflows
right.
to those around you.
Right.
And I think the first, I guess, layer of fruit is that happening in your own
right.
world.
Right.
But then to see that starting to overflow around everywhere around you.
And affect people.
It affects people. Love whether it. It's in church,
yep, yep.
whether it's in your workplace, whether
yep.
it's in your family.
Yep.
And see them responding to that.
Yes, really
and
good.
God starting to work in them.
Really, really good. Awesome. So if we go with that, I think that's the idea is that fruit is really the fruit of transformation of our life. So we should be changing and becoming more like Christ. That's the first fruit in our world. And then, of course, the overflow, exactly what we said, that's going to affect people around about us, and God's kingdom is going to be advanced. That's the fruit that God's looking for in our lives. So let's talk about some of the things that you've done that have helped you go the distance, okay, that have helped you be transformed and also be part of Team Jesus and seeing other people transformed. So let's start personally. I want to talk about moments. So just because often we can, if we reflect on our journey, we'll have really powerful, life-defining. Danielle talked about one earlier at a youth camp, a moment of encounter with God. Tell us about one of your defining moments. It doesn't have to be early or just somewhere in your journey where God's transformation work has happened in you. Kick off with you, Josh.
Yeah, I think, like, when I gave my heart to God, I experienced God's love quite powerfully.
Right.
And I just thought that was normal.
Right.
That when you give your heart to God, that there was, that, yeah, I discovered it that night. God is really real,
right.
that He's alive,
yeah.
that He loves me. And I just remember that night just being washed with His love, like wave upon
so
wave.
When you talk about that, was that like a tangible feeling, an emotional feeling? What was it?
Yeah, it was just a life-changing moment where you could just feel like this weight of love.
Wow.
And I just remember, I was like, as I received it, I was crying.
Yep.
But it just continued.
Right.
And yeah, it continued. I still remember Pastor John. We were in a smaller green building those days.
Mm-hmm.
I was like an emotional mess, and you came up and you're like, oh, how are you? And I was trying not to cry, and you know, but God was moving in me in that moment.
Were you a crier before that?
Oh, no, no.
Were you a hard-hearted young man?
yeah. I crying is, it was weak and soft,
yep.
and
so that, something really powerful must have been happening.
Yeah, it was just like, I like, you know, my heart was just like hard rock, and it was like Jesus just cracked it all open in one big night, in one big moment.
Amazing.
And
that's cool.
And that moment through the last 20 years has anchored me.
Right.
It's like, no, God loves me.
So good.
God loves me.
So
God
good.
Loves me. And yeah.
I love that. That's really cool. Shekinah, what would be a moment for you in your just, I mean, it's hard to pick one, but one powerful moment.
I think one powerful moment is actually when I received the gift of tongues.
Okay.
I remember growing up in church, I would watch my parents, I'd watch everyone around me praying, and for some reason I thought I couldn't have it. Mm-hmm. But I remember the moment I actually stepped the bowl, went for it, and it didn't come easy, but once I got filled, mm-hmm. I felt different. Like my whole prayer life went to a whole nother level.
Where were you when this happened? Was it at church? Was it
It was actually at church. It was after a youth service, and I came to the front to my youth pastor, and I said, I really want you to pray for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be filled with the gift of tongues. Like,
yep.
I've been prayed before when I was a little girl, but I think doubt came, so I always thought it was me making
yep.
the noises,
yep.
not
yep.
the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And this time, got filled, went home.
What, tell me, what did it feel like when you got filled? What was that experience like?
I just felt actually just peace.
Mm.
like, cause I was so much in my head overthinking it, going, I need it, but I just felt peace and just, I felt that actually the letting go and the trusting of God.
Right. Wow. So you kind of surrendered rather than tried to chase it.
Yeah.
Okay. And the surrendering, so you just started speaking in tongues. What happened?
Just started. I got just one little sound.
Yep.
And then my pastor was like, you just keep.
Just keep saying that word. You got your first word.
And it will eventually grow.
Yep.
And he said, if doubt comes, you just block it.
Right.
Because
the devil's going to try and steal that seed, as it were. Yeah. Okay.
And it worked. And I just carried on. I held on to it. And I was like, I'm going to.
Yeah.
So did
you, like, keep going every day then? What was, you said it changed your prayer life? What is it?
Yep. So I kept going every day, praying, especially at night.
Mm-hmm.
When I'd go to sleep, I'd just mutter the words over and over just to grow. It changed my prayer life in so many ways. Like, these moments when we don't know what to pray.
Yep.
Or how to pray for a situation. And just having that gift, it's just, the Holy Spirit knows.
Love it.
And the power that comes on. Yep. I feel something in me rise.
Right.
Like, I feel like I rise to a whole nother level that I can take anything on.
That's awesome. The power of the Holy Ghost bubbling up on the inside of you. Love it. Fantastic. Sam, what would be one of, you know, look, many obviously, but one powerful moment?
I was actually going to say a similar thing. The standout moment for me was, I was in a little group with Dan Frecker, had Liam Sarich there, and they just started praying for me for the filling of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and very similar, just praying, and then all of a sudden just kind of hits me and get this sense of just energy that's coming up and muttering and things that just didn't make sense at all, and it was a little bit scary, but it was just amazing. And then from that moment there, prayers been so different.
Right.
So it just felt like it was no longer some process or list that I was just having to do. It felt like I was connecting with someone.
Right.
And that for me was the biggest change. So.
That's awesome. How old were you, Sam?
16, probably.
16? Yeah. So cool. Yeah. So cool. I love that. So moments, because moments in our journey, and I've heard someone say it like this, that you measure a lifetime in minutes, but you measure a life in moments. And so we do a lot of behind the scenes work and as a church looking to create moments. You know, we have altar call, and we'll have one later on tonight. We'll pray for people to, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've never spoken in tongues, we'll have a moment, an opportunity for that. The youth camp is going to be a series of moments for people that you look back on years to come. And so leaning in and looking for moments is really cool. And however, we can't just get by on moments. Moments are awesome. I think, Josh, you said they're anchors. They're reference points for us where we kind of had a mountaintop experience. But then the other side of moments sometimes comes testing or challenges. Have you ever felt like walking away from God or church? Sam?
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. Yep.
It's probably the honest answer.
Yeah.
You know, when, you know, things hit you, I think it's a fairly human response to have doubt.
Right.
Particularly when things you think you're believing on aren't happening, or things that you thought were in God's will haven't happened the way you thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
So a personal example is my parents got divorced probably 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, like, well, isn't your will to have, you know, marriage in the home? So that moment was just, I wasn't probably thinking about leaving the church or anything like that, but there was definitely, like, doubts of, where are you?
Right.
Like, why aren't you interceding? Why aren't you changing? Isn't your will for good things?
Yeah.
So why is this happening? And they're both Christian, so, I think, but then out of that, there was such a connection, such a strengthening from the church in that time, so I'm so glad that I didn't pull out, because that's exactly what I needed at that time.
Wow.
It was just people around me praying for me, guys like Dave Morris and Isaac Childs, Nick Hickman, Josh, just praying, catching up for coffee, that kind of stuff. So
let's talk about, before you got to that moment then, you'd put some habits in place.
Mm-hmm.
That when it hit the fan, when it went down, you had some things in place rather than waiting until you hit a major storm in life and then kind of being derailed. Mm-hmm. What would be one of, you talk about friendships there, what would be one of the key habits in your life that helped you through the storm or the disappointment?
Yeah, friendships are definitely a key rock. I think the benefit of growing up in youth is, you know, you're meeting Friday nights, Sunday nights, and then you start to meet throughout the week. But then something that we really loved, there was a group of six of us, and we would just start praying for each other. Like before band practice, we would come 2 hours, an hour early, and just prophesy over each other. And I think that level of connection was something that you don't find, or it's rare out in the world.
Right.
And just that accountability there of like, you know, are you rocking up on Sunday? I'll be there, you'll be there.
Right, right.
Or sharing scriptures, just that kind of stuff where you begin to do life with people.
Yes.
And because of that, it's just such a stabilizer for when things do go sideways.
Right, that's cool. So you intentionalize relationship through youth, connect group, serving, and out of that, so you got some lifelong friends. Mm. You didn't sort of look at them and go, will you be my lifelong friend? You just serve God together, right?
Yeah.
That would have been weird. That would have been weird. So you just serve God together on youth team, in worship team, going to connect group together, and over a period of time, the bonds got deeper.
Yes.
And that's what held you in that. Okay, that's awesome, Sam. Josh, you said, you know, there's been moments for you where don't talk about this week, Josh. Talk about, just kidding. What would be a tough moment for you where you really got tested?
I think just in your walk with God, there's mountaintop moments, there's valley moments, there's, in church world, there's times where you feel really connected in, sometimes that you might feel isolated.
Yep.
There might be conflict.
Yes.
There might be offense.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
All those kinds of things.
Stuff's gone down. Yep.
It's just like you can't put hundreds of people together in a place and expect them to be all perfect.
Can't put three people together and expect it all to be awesome, right? Just that you're going to have to work at it, right?
Exactly. So
what would you say in terms of pre-decisions or habits you made early on that's helped you get through when you feel vulnerable or isolated or ticked off or whatever?
It's the power of pre-deciding, because those moments will come.
Right.
Those moments will come. Yep. So it's, the power of pre-deciding. One of the key moments is that churches are non-negotiable for us.
Right.
So when you feel like a bit of in a valley or stuff's going down to withdraw, that's the worst thing you can do.
Yep.
And that's what the enemy wants you to do, is to be in isolation so he can feed thoughts.
Yep.
So we, even when we first got married, it was on our best day, we're going to be in the house of God.
Come on.
On our worst day, we're going to be in the house of God.
Amazing.
And we're just going to trust God in every season.
Mm-hmm.
And some weeks it's, this is awesome. Love this place. And there have been times where it's like, this is hard.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, this is where we're meant to be, and we're going to keep rocking up.
Really, really
and
good.
And, yeah.
Really, I mean, in a lot of ways, not unlike making marriage work.
Yeah.
You pre-decide that on the good days, you're going to enjoy it. On the tough moments, you're going to turn towards each other and try and work it out. Yeah. It's not all going to be roller coasters and joys. You've got to work at it. You've got to work out relationship. And then if you do put in the work, it actually becomes amazing. You'll get the benefits out of it. What about you, Shekinah? What would be something you put in place for you that through tough times or disappointments has held you?
I would say, I think I was in a meeting with Pastor Chris once, and she said this line. She was talking about something. She said this line. She came. I think she was talking about a miracle. She said, you have to get to a point where if a miracle is not going to happen, you're still going to love Jesus.
Right.
You're still going to serve him. Yeah. And I think that stuck away, because like, no matter what, I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to serve you. I'm still going to rock up.
That's
something I've carried throughout every season, every high and every low. It's like, no, I still love you.
Yeah.
I'm still going to show up.
Yeah. Really good. Just so the power of turning up, right? Even when you're... Okay, let's talk about some other habits, because so often our life is the fruit of the habits that we put in place. And so one of those particularly, and you referred to it earlier, but is building that daily personal connection. So one of the habits we've just talked about is being connected in church, being in a small group, serving on a team, helping build that connection. But you and Jesus, Sam, what have you done? How have you built a personal connection with the Lord, not just relying on others?
Yeah, I think for me it was probably a revelation of, it really clicked for me when I was reading the Psalms and you see David, and he just brings God into everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the mountaintops and the very low, you know, Bathsheba type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you just see him and he's bringing God into everything.
Right.
And that for me was the change that I needed from probably being a churchy young guy who was just kind of praying and ticking off the list.
Yep.
To know, like, God's a person.
Yes.
God has feelings. He's sensitive to things. The Holy Spirit wants to hear from you. He wants to hear what you're thinking at every moment of the day.
Awesome.
So you can set aside a time for that in the morning where you just go to him, you pray to him, and you seek him. And then there's moments where throughout the day you can just, you know, if stuff does hit the fan, you can go, God, like, I need you.
Yep.
And there's a sweet moment where he just comes in and listens, intends, and he is the counselor, he is the comforter,
he's
the Almighty. And that's the brilliant thing of the more that you get into God, it's like layers, the more that he begins to peel off of his presence.
Right, right.
And he actually rewards those that diligently seek him with more of him.
That's cool.
Which is the beautiful. And I want to, you know, you see those people like yourself that just have such a strong connection. And when they speak of the Holy Spirit, he comes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they have that, they know him.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that goal was just, I want to be one of those people.
Awesome, so. Sam. That's cool. I feel his presence now while you talk about him. So it's working. You talked about and I love that because so for most of us, our initial relationship with God begins with community. So it's kind of like the friendships and the relationship, and that becomes the foundational point of our connection. But then it has to become personal. I can't just rely on other people, because we're going to go in moments where other people won't be enough. We need our own personal relationship. You mentioned the scripture there. Just talk a little bit about that scripture, about diligently seeking.
Yeah. So I suppose diligence is doing something consistently for me. That's my interpretation. It's probably wrong, but it's mine.
Yeah.
Just consistency. So for me, it would just look like setting time aside. And the Bible talks about getting the discipline of God seeking.
Right.
And that discipline of just, and it can start off really simple, 5 minutes, going into your room. For me, it's going into your room.
Yep.
And just saying, God, like, this is how I'm feeling. This is the things of the day. This is in my mind.
Yep.
And it's just a conversation.
So just 5 minutes a day at the beginning.
At the beginning.
At the beginning.
At the beginning.
Awesome.
And then you begin to grow that habit, and then it gets to the point where, like anything, you almost feel weird not doing it.
Right. So it becomes part of your life. I like that. Okay, Josh, what would be a habit for you that's held you? We've talked about church life. What would be another life-giving habit? Because for those things, you have to make the effort to build it into your life. It's not, no one gets the gift of discipline. No one gets the gift of prayer or the gift of, they're really, a quiet time's easy for them, but not for somebody else. We all have the same amount of time. How have you built the habit, or what would it be?
Yeah, making that decision that I'm gonna make that decision to seek God daily.
Yes.
Not sporadically.
Yes.
Not in a crisis.
Yes.
But actually seek him, because life is just better when you're connected with him.
Yes, right.
Just that simple truth.
Yep.
Even if you don't get that answered prayer, even if you don't get the lightning bolt moment, just having that connection with God can just be, just bring so much peace and life.
Yep.
There have been times I've walked into my prayer time and I'm just so under it, just burdened with things,
right,
and then walked out on top of it.
Right.
Nothing's changed.
Right, in the situation.
Nothing's changed in the situation, but it's because God's working in my heart and I'm connected with him.
Yes.
So I started that as a young fella. I started that as at nighttime.
Yeah.
I'd read a chapter of the Bible.
Yeah.
And I would pray for 5 minutes.
Yep.
And yeah, and the other thing that grew me in my prayer life was actually coming to the prayer meetings.
Right.
One thing I love, and it is a strength of our church, is just the culture of prayer that we have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you rock up to the prayer meeting and it's stretching you, mm-hmm. it's actually really good for you.
Right.
And teaching you how to pray and pray confidently.
Yep. Yep.
So yeah, I just made those, I just naturally did that. I don't know if it was a intentional decision, but it's like, oh, the prayer meeting's on, I'm right. going to be at the prayer
yep.
meeting.
Yep.
And just lean in and yeah. That really was one good. Of the moments that helped build my prayer life.
Really, really good. Again, another pre-decision you talked about earlier of going to be in church, good season, bad season, going to connect with God daily. That's a great pre-decision to make. What about you, Shekinah? What would be a habit in your life?
It would be the daily seeking mm-hmm. Jesus. I got a revelation of what it actually was to seek him.
Yes.
And it was actually seeking him isn't just something to you tick off the list. It's something I've done as a Christian, but it's actually he longs to spend time with us.
Right.
And we should long to spend time with him. And
right.
it's an exchange. It's a relationship.
Yep.
And when I got that revelation, my prayer time changed. Not just me praying, but it was an exchange.
Right.
I could feel him downloading things to me.
Yes.
I could feel the Father's love.
Yes.
In moments when I really just needed him just to love me.
Right.
Just the peace of God. And moments where I just needed strength, but it was also moments that I just needed to rise up.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. so getting that revelation changed my prayer time.
Right.
It made me actually, I'm a quality time girl. So
okay.
I wanted to spend time with him every day, but also every moment I could find. Where's Jesus in this moment?
Really good. Really good. I love that. Some great decisions. Okay, quick fire one for you now. You all did an internship here over the years. And I know we've had our internship on a pause and we're relaunching next year. So, Sam, when did you do internship?
I did in gap year, so 2014, 2015.
Okay, yeah. And why did you do it and then what did it do in you?
I did it probably just to learn spiritual discipline.
Yep.
I think there was a lot of things like Bible, prayer.
Yep.
Just to grow spiritually.
Yep.
And then to get out of it.
What changed in Sam Byrne in those 2 years?
Probably a revelation that there is life serving a vision greater than myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the 21st century, we're very good at living life for me.
Yep.
But
King Sam,
yeah.
Yep. Well done. Good self-control, Sam. That was great.
It's discipline right there. Diligence. But I think that there's something happens when you begin to get outside of yourself and work on a vision that's bigger than yourself.
Right.
You learn to serve, submit. Your
yep.
thinking gets bigger.
Yep.
And yeah, I think out of that, you know, it's in Matthew 6:33. Seek
yep.
first the kingdom of God and all these things will be given unto you, and that's happened for us.
Right.
This year's been a year of rewards for us.
Yep. Yep.
I think a lot of that's because we put God first.
I love that. If you Jesus said, if you chase after your own life, you'll lose it. But if you lay your life down, you'll find it. There's this beautiful upside down principle in the kingdom. If you make God's world and his kingdom your priority, then he'll make your life his priority and you'll live a life that's beyond what you could ever imagine. And I can see you guys doing that. Shekinah, when did you do internship?
I graduated internship 11 years ago.
Yes.
And I actually did it because I thought it would just be fun.
Okay.
Just finished school, had nothing to do, and...
Was it fun, Shekinah?
It was fun.
Great, good
it
answer.
It actually was a lot of fun. Like, I've made friends. Like, I made friends with Beck Rogers.
Yes.
We're still friends today.
Over on the Keys.
We
awesome.
Got engaged around the same time, got
yep.
married around the same time, so it was fun, but it also was challenging. It
mm-hmm.
grew me in so much ways. Like, it grew me in confidence. I was such a shy, timid person, and
mm-hmm.
doing internship forced me to step out.
Right.
To step out what was comfortable for
mm-hmm.
me,
mm-hmm.
and it grew me in so many ways, and it actually, I think it prepared me for the person I am today.
Awesome. Love that. Fantastic. Josh, you must have been one of almost the originals, were you?
Yeah, I was first year.
First year,
first internship.
Not a guinea pig at all, just a first year intern, right? Why did you do it? And what would you say was the outcome in your life?
I think I'd been a Christian for a couple, like 4 or 5 years at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just a sense of God's calling.
Mm-hmm.
Probably couldn't articulate it back then, but there was just like,
There
was just this sense of like, I want to do this,
right.
Like church,
yep.
You know?
Yep.
I want to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor John, you had an IC convo with me,
mm-hmm.
and that led to a step of faith and cutting a day of work and starting an internship.
Yep.
And I would say my first year of internship, what God did in me was the big thing that God, he did lots of little things, but the big thing that he did in me was I knew how God felt about me, but in that first year, I think I learned what God felt about his church.
Right.
And I was pumped about youth. I wanted to do youth.
Yeah.
And I got allocated to kids ministry.
Yeah.
With Pastor Kathy, who cried a lot. And love her. But I remember there was a Sunday, I was in the MPZ, I'm serving kids, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit just say, I love this.
Right.
This is important to me.
Wow.
And I think that year I shifted from what do I want and what do I see to God, I just want to do what you want me to do.
Amazing.
And funnily enough, I've done literally everything now. So
and now you're overseeing kids' world, all the teams and everything, which is awesome.
And quite happy to. Because it's like, you know what? God wants to bless those kids.
Yeah, love that.
And he's got a heart for that. But I learned that in my first year
that
I might not see it, but God does. So,
very cool.
Yeah.
And was there a second year one as well? You got me hanging on the edge. Well, what happened in year two?
Year two was just a year of growth and stretching.
Yep.
First year I sat under Pastor Kathy, and then second year I stepped into actually owning and leading stuff.
So you began to lead, right.
And it was just character building, capacity stretching.
Yes.
And just a year of just saying yes and figuring out stuff.
Yep.
I have no idea what I was doing. But there were leaders behind me that believed in me. It's like, you've got this, you'll figure it out. And we worked it all out, and it changed something in me.
It's awesome.
So at the end of all the internship stuff, you know how I went into internship, I felt called from God?
Yep.
At the end of internship, it's like, I am called.
Right. Right.
This is what I'm meant to do.
There
was clarity from that. Yep. So,
really good.
You get the clarity through that journey.
Awesome.
So
that's awesome. Well, and you're an outstanding leader, Josh. High capacity, an outstanding pastor. I love that in the mix of things here, your track has taken you guys into being pastors and in leaders in that world. And Sam, then you went on into uni. You've become a clinical psychologist, opened your own psychology firm, and so the preparation for you is to be a man of God, deeply connected to God, and unpacking all of that he has ahead for you. So it's awesome. Hey, I want you to put your hands together for these guys. They've done such a great job. Thank you so much. Really, really cool. Let's stand to our feet. And we're just going to have a couple of, just some moments before we bring the service to a close. I'm going to hand over to Danika in a few minutes. But I just want to just close your eyes wherever you are. Our journey with God usually involves taking steps of obedience. And so just as your eyes are closed, I want you just to say, Lord, what's my next step? Just ask the Holy Spirit, what's my next step? Is there a discipline, a habit, a commitment? We transform one decision at a time, one moment at a time, one thing at a time. Maybe for some of you, he wants you to do the internship next year. Maybe he wants to go to Bible college, get prepared. Maybe it's to begin to pray every day, just for 5 minutes. Read the Bible. Maybe it's to have one of those encounter moments where you get filled with His Holy Spirit. Powerful moments, life-changing moments. Let me get the guys to sing. We're just gonna grab 5 minutes. And if you want to be prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Shekinah and these guys were talking about that moment of being filled and getting the gift of tongues, or maybe just a moment where Josh talked about experiencing the love of God. And maybe in your head you know God loves you, but you haven't experienced that or would like to experience that. So I'm going to get the ministry team to come on down the front. And we're going to just lead us in worship. Let's all worship together. And if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit or you want to receive the love of God, just come down the front right now. And we're going to pray for God's touch on people. Come on, just come right now. Father, I pray that You would draw us on the daily into Your presence, every day. Lord, that we would come every day and experience that love, that peace, that joy in our hearts. I pray that as we make being in your house, part of Your people, a priority in our life, that through good seasons, through winter seasons, through spring, through summer, through autumn, through tough times and great times, Lord, we would be planted in the house of God and we'd flourish in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. You